right, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. We're going to be joined shortly by Viva Fry to give us his breakdown of what the heck is going on with Jeffrey Epstein, especially when it comes to Donald Trump and just how confusing all of this has been. In fact, if he's ready, let's go ahead and bring him in now. Viva Fry is my guest. David Fryheart. Fryheart is a Canadian lawyer, former political candidate for the People's Party of Canada, and YouTuber under the pseudonym Viva Fry. In 2022, Rumble announced his proposal for an open source content moderation policy and process, attributing Fryheart as being a key legal contributor. You can follow him on X at TheVivaFry and VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com, where, of course, he streams along with our good friend, Mr. Barnes. Mr. Fry, thank you so much for being here with us.
My pleasure. Thank you for having me.
Well, there's so much about Epstein coming out. Give us just your bird's eye view, your takeaway. How are you feeling about the avalanche of information we've heard so far?
Well, I say vindication is not necessarily the right word because it's not a question of proving yourself right or wrong. Two things are the themes of this. The rollout, the release has been bungled, and one can only conclude that it's incompetence of certain individuals to the point of sabotage, and Trump was not personally implicated or incriminated by the documents in there. I've been saying it for a while, been taking a little flack because people say, Viva, they're all in it together. They couldn't, you know, selectively disclose documents on Trump without taking down everybody, left and right. I'm like, if they had anything incriminating on Trump himself, they would have released it in 2016. They would have released it in 2020. They would have released it in 2024. And the Clintons are not now going to start spilling the beans. Nothing was going to incriminate Trump as an individual in this. It might embarrass people in his entourage, which I think it has, and unnecessarily so. Like, Lutnick is, I say, in hot water. It's going to make headlines. It's not clear that he did anything incriminating either, other than not be entirely forthright about his interactions with Epstein and his, visiting the island with his family. And but for that answer that he gave a while back, he wouldn't be in so much hot water right now, except for the fact that if he had answered it honestly back in the day, maybe he wouldn't be where he is right now. All that to say, it's the rollout has been bungled to the point of it cannot be explained by incompetence or strategery. But what we're learning is more of the same. You know, we're not getting any massive smoking guns that are going to name names. We'll see what happens with Thomas Massie's pressure campaign to release some of the names that he says are redacted that would incriminate others that shouldn't be redacted. But no, it's more the same. It's what we've all been saying for a very long time. But it does prove that there's not so much a there that we didn't know about, but that this was an extensive network involving a lot of people. And whether or not it was blackmail or greasing the wheels, if you visited Epstein's island, I would say you had to have a good excuse to do it, but I don't think there's any good excuse to knowingly visit a sex offender's private island where nothing good happens.
Right. And of course, you know, you're right about Howard Lutnick. What's been discovered, he's not in emails saying, you know, I love the torture video or anything like that, that other people are incriminated in. But why would he lie about it? Like, that alone is cause for suspicion, right? You don't lie unless you think there's something that you need to lie about. I mean, that's a risk, too, because he probably knew it could have been discovered that he was lying. I doubt he just completely forgot about this. So, I mean, that, to me, that's a pretty big deal that he thought it was important enough to lie about. In and of itself is worth suspicion, isn't it?
Well, for sure. And especially remember what his statement was, which was he went and met Jeffrey Epstein after buying his neighboring property, which Epstein owned before transferring it into the Comet Trust, no relation to Comet Pizza. And then Lutnick bought the property from the Comet Trust and went to meet Epstein and said it was so disgusting. He remembered it forever. And it was the first and last time. It's obvious that people felt pressure to downplay their connections because it was guilt by association, but you don't lie because you have to believe that there's a camera in the sky or a God that will eventually the truth comes out. And so, yeah, he got caught in a lie. It's going to be embarrassing, but it doesn't look like it's more serious than that, but it's a lie.
It is. They're just not handling it well. More Viva Fry in 90 seconds. Don't go anywhere. Bovine Colostrum Plus, a really incredible new product that's flying off the shelves. What if one simple scoop a day could strengthen your body's natural defenses at every single stage of life? This is Bovine Colostrum Plus, nature's very first superfood, now in its purest, most potent form. For teens and kids, Colostrum Plus delivers 4,000 milligrams of immune-boosting IgG antibodies and 20 grams of premium protein to power growth, crush colds before they start, and keep young athletes recovering faster and staying in the game. In your 20s and 30s, it rebuilds your gut barrier, sharpens focus, and helps you bounce back from tough workouts and late nights like you're still 21. Hitting 40, 50, and beyond? Well, Bovine Colostrum Plus fights back against age-related immune decline, supports healthy inflammation levels, and keeps your joints, skin, and energy feeling years younger. One scoop, 500 milligrams of soothing marshmallow root for your gut, 500 milligrams of lactoferrin, nature's ultimate defender, and zero junk. Get it today at thealexjonesstore.com.
Dismantling the globalist agenda hour by hour. The War Room with Harrison Smith is live right now on X and Band.video worldwide.
Welcome back, ladies and gentlemen. There has been a ton of bombshell information that's been revealed by the recent release of the Epstein files that, I don't know, it feels like it was 3 years ago that they got released. There's been so much information coming out. And we're just trying to collate all of it and figure out what the heck it all means. My guest is Viva Fry. You can follow him on X at The Viva Fry. And, of course, follow him on Locals, he and Robert Barnes, at vivabarneslaw.locals.com. He, of course, is a former lawyer. Are you practicing now, Viva? Last I heard, you weren't bothering to re-up your because you'd moved to America, right?
I proudly relinquished my Quebec bar license because it was serving no practical purpose other than people thinking they could get me in trouble by filing anonymous ethics complaints to the Quebec Bar Society because they didn't like some of my tweets. But no, I don't plan on practicing. I don't think I could practice without being a liability to my clients. But we'll see. You never know what the future holds. But yeah, so former attorney, I had 13 years plus of experience, so I can sort of think like a scoundrel, even though I am not one myself, despite what some people might.
That's why I want to let the people know in case they haven't heard of you, which would be weird. Everybody should know you by now. But you're not just some guy. You're an attorney for a long time, have a lot of experience in this. I just didn't want to say practicing attorney if that wasn't totally accurate. And in the last segment, you know, you said you didn't think there was any anything really indicting President Trump in any of these files. Seems like today it's the exact opposite. It's now been revealed that he was one of, if not the first person to like blow the whistle on Epstein, talk to the Palm Beach police saying, go after Ghislaine. She's the real kingpin here. I mean, that is massive bombshell news that to me totally exonerates him because nothing else has even indicted him in the first place. What's your take on that? How do you think the left is going to respond to this new news?
They're not going to. You can't have a meaningful discussion with people who are deliberately trying to misunderstand. So don't even try. This exonerates him. Everybody knew that Trump had already excommunicated Epstein. Everybody knew that he was pivotal in working with the attorneys to bring this to light, which makes the bungled rollout even more inexplicable. But it was in the prior disclosures where you had Michael Wolff colluding with Jeffrey Epstein to suborn extortion material on Trump, which neither of them had. So the exoneration of Trump is nothing surprising, except it's just, it doesn't make any sense as to why they blew this release as badly as they did.
Right.
You know, it's and so from what I understand, some of the people involved in the redactions, you know, may or may not be good faith players or may or may not be deliberately trying to sabotage Trump, because you can't have redactions that are so bad they redact that which need not be redacted, which could be against the law that was, that bill that was signed into law, or they don't redact the names of the people that they were claiming they couldn't release this to protect. You can't have those types of mistakes at this level, with this level of importance, with this amount of time to prepare for it. So I say, politically speaking, there should be hell to pay for how this was dealt with within the DOJ. And, a number of things. Going all the way back to when we were told that there's video proving that Epstein killed himself in his cell, and then there's a whole problem with that video because apparently Pam Bondi didn't watch the entire thing or didn't know that 3 minutes was cut out. And now from this latest disclosure, you have evidence suggesting that there might have been someone in the backdrop who actually seems to have gone up to the area of Epstein's cell. You know, we're seeing a lot of interesting things come out. Unfortunately, no smoking gun, no dagger in the heart of the deep state, but you know, I went back and refreshing everybody's memory on the United States Virgin Islands lawsuit against Jeffrey Epstein's estate, which had, you know, a number of allegations in that lawsuit testifying or attesting to the fact that other people were involved in the Epstein enterprise. That lawsuit was settled for $105 million. And when people say no one else was involved, and yet we need to redact names, there were no other alleged co-conspirators except for the ones who got the blanket pardon. You know, the idea that people stubbornly cling to the idea that Epstein only partook in this for his own purient interests, they're ignoring everything that's in all of the lawsuits that have already been filed, settled, all of the witness testimony. And now we'll just see if Thomas Massey is, I won't say, you know, not barking up the wrong tree or chasing red herrings, whether or not he's making a mountain of a molehill of some of the redactions. But Harrison, did you see the email about the gynecologist? I don't know if you've seen that one.
I did. And I haven't printed. It's one of these that I'm just like, I'm not even going to touch it. I mean, it's, but yes, I did see that.
To give everybody the lowdown on that, it's I just saw it break from another Twitter account. I forget whose it was. It's misspelled, by the way, not probably for any tactical reasons. Go into the Epstein files and put in the word gynecologist, G-Y-N-O-C-O-L-I-G-S, and you'll get it. And, you know, again, maybe there's, in a perfect universe, there might be a normal explanation. Oh, it's just someone bragging about his sexual exploits. But in it, it's Mark Epstein, Epstein's brother, asking for the name of the gynecologist that he took his victims to, quote, victims. And then it says, you know, you single-handedly kept that gynecologist in, you know, in business. And when you couple that with, you might also remember the viral clip that, you know, when the transcripts were released of Jeffrey Epstein's being deposed, and then he's asked about his misshapen penis, and then they end the deposition. You could, in theory, if you want, I mean, nobody in here deserves the benefit of the doubt as far as Epstein's concerned, but you could say, all right, it's just somebody bragging about going hard as a whatever. But it's suspicious. You know, the stuff about the talk of jerky, the talk of torture videos. They're clearly using code, much like they were with the Podesta emails back in the day. Yeah. They're clearly using code. It's not the way normal people talk. And so the only question is, what are they using code for? But, you know, we'll see what happens if and when names are released, because they were only supposed to redact names of victims to protect victims. And apparently they're redacting other names that, you know, might not be victims, but might be co-conspirators. And whether or not that should be done, whether people like Thomas Massey and Ro Khanna or not, they have arguably been pivotal in bringing about this outcome where we're getting disclosure of 3+ million documents that 6 months ago we were told didn't exist. It was, you know, not a hoax, bad advice that Trump was getting from whoever didn't look through those documents to know that Trump might be named 5,000 times, but only because people are trying to suborn perjury or extortion material and can't. So he got terrible advice. It's been a bungled, unnecessary PR disaster, but who knows? You know, not 4D chess, but chess is about turning mistakes into opportunities. You've got enough time, and depending on what comes out of this, you could play it very usefully for the upcoming midterms. But no, I just say that unfortunately, it's been an unforced error, bungled of a release. And what we're seeing, look at this, it's abject perversion. And you're not going to convince anybody that the banks that paid out tens of millions of dollars in settlements because they didn't do the KYC and they facilitated Epstein's sex trafficking, that they weren't doing this for and on behalf of other people, especially given some of the documents that we're now discovering.
It is so creepy. Yeah. Do you remember the gynecologist you sent your victims to? It reminds me, if you've ever read the Godfather book, there's a whole subplot where they have a woman who, and they have like plastic surgeons and gynecologists on staff basically to perform abortions back when it was illegal. And, you know, you'd want medical doctors there to cover up the damage you do to women. And they were on the payroll and totally off the books. So again, the mafia, you know, tactics at play here, it really is sick. And of course, the UK government is like on the brink of collapse over Peter Mandelson's connection to Epstein. Why are we not seeing anything even remotely like that here? Because, yeah, maybe there's not like a bombshell smoking gun, but I mean, it's pretty damn close. And a lot of these people are saying things that you don't want leaders of companies or countries to be saying. What do we need to do to get a similar response that they're having in the UK, where it looks like Keir Starmer is being forced to resign and people have already been ousted from their position and the whole government's on the brink of collapse? Meanwhile, 90% of the people involved are here in America and there's crickets. What do we have to do to get some justice around here?
I don't know what you have to do, because it seems that a lot of them are, you know, on the Democrat side of things. Like, who was it? It was the Joanna Rubinstein, the woman from Sweden, from the United Nations refugee entity, mm-hmm. who resigned after having gone to the island with her family, after knowing that Epstein was a convicted sex offender. And, you know, when you look into the connections between the UN and Haiti and human trafficking, you can try it. You can maybe connect some dots that you don't have the hard evidence to connect. But when she resigns, it's not a question of cancel culture, you know, like just forcing people to quit over tangential ties to Epstein. I just say, like, there's no good reason to have fraternized with a known convicted sex offender to that degree, especially when you're in those types of positions. So I don't know. But the problem is, when you get the Stacey Plaskets of American politics, British Virgin Islands, no less, mm-hmm. not British, United States Virgin Islands, sorry, you know, texting Jeffrey Epstein when everybody knew everything, so that they could get questions to Michael Cohen to somehow get Trump,
yep.
you know, politically sunk. And there's no political hell to pay for her. I mean, unfortunately, with the party that the Democrat Party that you have in America today, you might be beyond the point of that type of not social retribution, but social. The word I'm looking for is
like holding them to account.
Exactly. Social responsibility. The party might be beyond that at this point. And they so badly want Trump that they'll jump on the tangential connections such as Lutnick. I wanted to say something important about Lutnick as well, because, you know, when he probably felt compelled to downplay or ignore or not disclose the full extent, and I'll put it in quotes because it's not clear, you know, to what extent it is. He obviously knew that there would have been this cancel culture. Like, when Acosta's deeds with Epstein became known, he was out. And so if anybody went to the islands, even, I say, innocently with their family, which is weird, but whatever, or invested in a business in which Epstein was invested, you know, he probably knew there would have been that type of cancellation back then. And so why not lie? And then the only problem now is, well, the lie has come out, and it might not have on its own been totally damning, because, okay, so fine, Lutnick invested in a company that Epstein invested in. All right, fine. He bought his property from a trust that Epstein sold his house to. He visited him a few years later for Lord knows what reason. There are some connections which are, I say, more forgivable, more understandable, but some of them do require swift political consequences, which we're seeing in the UK. But I do think, unfortunately, that the Democrat Party might be beyond that type of social responsibility or political responsibility in America.
Yeah, It kind of stinks. They're so obsessed with Trump, and it, like, even the way they're covering it now. I read the article earlier where it's like Trump may have, you know, been the first one to report Jeffrey Epstein to the Palm Beach police, but he said he didn't know about their crimes. And it's like, well, but yeah, but he called the police on them. So what are you trying to prove here? It's all very very bizarre. And again, you get this thing where it's like, yeah, Howard Lutnick lied, and it's kind of like, why'd you lie, dude? And it's like, well, if I told the truth, you wouldn't have picked me. It's like, well, yeah, that's one.
I posted this commercial from it's got to be the late 80s, the Church of Latter-day Saints. And it's a song. When you tell one lie, it leads to another. Then you tell two lies to cover for the other. And then you tell three lies. And boy, oh, brother, you're knee deep in a tangled web.
Yep.
You know, everybody knew it. And then the reality is he was, you know, whether or not the sex crimes are actually, you know, the biggest tip of this iceberg. I listened to a lot of Mike Benz, and I just listened to Mike Benz's latest podcast with Rogan, and he focuses on the element that the bigger scandal here might be the deeper, not the sex crimes per se, because, you know, maybe it was part of the deal with the devil that they had with Epstein, is to either turn a blind eye to or facilitate. That's it right there. It's classic. You got to go watch that. But, you know, this might be the limited hangout where, okay, this is the distraction now with these sorted emails and apparent code talk, and ignoring the deep role that Epstein played in intelligence and in arms dealing and whatever. And if that became known, that intelligence was either turning a blind eye to or facilitating, even if it were sex crimes only relating to Jeffrey Epstein, that might cause a irreparable loss of trust in these institutions, which I think is warranted.
Right.
And, you know, might be the deeper angle here to what some might say is a limited hangout of saying, all right, here's some of the dirty emails, but let's ignore the entire intelligence potential to all of this. All that to say, however, Trump got terrible advice in all of this. And when he came out and said, you know, if you're still talking about this hoax, I don't need your support, I didn't take it personally because it's just a poor decision made on bad advice. He needs to clean house in the DOJ, to make sure that they can right this ship and right this wrong, and to make sure that the people who are responsible for this monumental debacle are not further advising Trump into future similar debacles.
I mean, somebody's going to make a movie about this 10 years from now or something, because just as you were relating earlier in our conversation, I'd totally forgotten about some of the stuff. The binder thing that came out, and then the video that had a minute missing. It was like they were trying to think they were covering up. It's been crazy.
The lawyers for some of the victims, I forget the exact quote, but they were in front of a judge and they said, there's no level of incompetence that can explain away these errors in the redactions. Go back to the first one. The redactions, remember there, where they blacklined it out, but if you put it in Adobe, you could remove the redaction. So, it starts off with whether or not it was a campaign promise, it was a political messaging and it was a politically important thing, not retribution, but addressing the deep state issues, which people think is underlying Epstein, getting to the bottom of Epstein, the client list, 2016, 2020, 2024. Then whoever's in charge there says, no, it's no big deal. He killed himself. Move on. And here's your unsigned memo that we're now saying the FBI signed on to. Then you have Bindergate, inexplicable, inexcusable bungle. I don't even fault call them influencers. I call them alternative journalists. I don't fault them. I had Liz Wheeler on who explained it to me at the time, and their explanation made total sense. But you had Bindergate, debacle. That was phase one. Phase two turned into there's nothing here. Go home. And it's a hoax, and we don't want your support if you're still talking about it. And the flack I took online from certain Twitter accounts, which need not be named, but, the biggest cheerleaders of people running off a cliff, we're like, stop talking about it, Viva. It's irrelevant. It's like, I've been sort of, not obsessed, but talking about this consistently since 2019. I'm not going to stop now just because you think I need to cheer on somebody who's making a mistake. Phase two turned into nothing. Now it's turned into 3 million documents, so much we need more time to properly redact. And then we screw up on the redactions both times. I said the first time when they blacklined it out and you could remove the black lines, that would be one hell of a sneaky way of allowing people to see behind the redactions and say, oops, my first day. The second time where you say we can't release this to protect the victims and you allow information to identify the victims, there's no level of incompetence that can explain it away. And then you find out who might be behind the redactions and whether or not they were bad elements within the FBI who are now empowered to do these redactions that have done nothing but embarrass the administration. Dude, it's like, it's fractal wrongness. And if anybody doesn't know the concept, fractal wrongness, everything you do is wrong. Every decision you make is wrong. Like flipping a coin, you can't get it wrong too many times in a row, just statistically speaking. These are statistical anomalies in terms of the fractal mistakes that have been made here. And I do dare say, at some point you say, don't attribute to malice what can be explained away by incompetence. There is a limit to that. And I think we've long breached that. We've seen the political consequences to that now, and they're not good for Trump, the administration, or even its ability to focus on the tasks at hand because of this, what is an unforced distraction. And I would say at some point, you can start to ask whether or not it's deliberate, malicious sabotage by bad elements within.
I mean, I think it has to be. I think just like you said, I mean, never attribute to malice what can be explained by incompetence. But the flip side of that is never call incompetence something that is clearly the outcome of malice or deliberate obfuscation, which is what's happening at least with Thomas Massie exposing Les Wexner. I mean, he's there in the document as a co-conspirator, and yet they black him out. There's no reason. There's no national security reason to do that. Massey's come out and said it. What do you think explains? Is there an explanation for that? Again, I can't say that was incompetence. That seemed like a deliberate attempt to violate the law as it was passed. I mean, what do you think the outcome of that's going to be?
I don't know why they would be doing it now. And then the argument is people say, well, they're blacking out co-conspirators now because there's ongoing investigations and they're going to charge them. Well, first of all, we're told that that's not happening. I appreciate the FBI can't talk about the existence of or any ongoing investigations. We're told that there's nobody else to prosecute. And so the explanation for why these redactions are the way they are need to make sense, and they just don't. And I mean, so I don't know. Like, is it just to keep people distracted while other stuff goes on behind the scenes? We're going to fight over the improper redactions. Lex Wessner, he's. I mean, I don't know. I want to think of when he died, but there's no good excuse. But you know, and also the redactions are inconsistent. They redact some email address in one place and then not in another. And so, look, I don't know. It's not the way it could possibly be handled. And if this were private enterprise, whoever was responsible for handling it would have been fired, period. And so the only question is, and I don't adhere to it, is this four-dimensional chess that Trump is doing all of this on purpose? The dude's at the helm of the biggest corporation on earth. He's relying on the people who are handling these subsections of this enterprise. Whether or not he's, you know, his first term, he was accused of not being sufficiently loyal to some of the members of his administration, Michael Flynn, in particular. And so whether or not it's an overcompensation now to be overly loyal to those who don't who have long since proven they don't deserve that loyalty, maybe it's that. But it defies logic how this has been rolled out. It's out now, you know, and I don't fault Massey. I understand why Massey might be politically unpopular among people who are tangentially caught up in this and say, I'm innocent, and if this comes out, people are going to think I'm guilty. And Dershowitz, I think, is the prime example of someone now who is sort of caught up in not just guilt by association, but wrongful suppositions of criminal wrongdoing, or at least criminal affiliation. So you can understand maybe why some people are pissed at Massey for doing that. But Massey and Ro Khanna, I think they've done what they said they were going to do, which was righteous from the beginning. And it should have just been owned from the beginning instead of fought tooth and nail to the point where people say, why are they fighting tooth and nail disclosure that is, in theory, in everyone's best interest?
And I completely agree with you where you see Trump's maneuver, and I totally agree he's getting bad advice. I don't see, you know, 4D chess being played. But then it's like he's got all the Democrats clamoring for the file releases, and it turns out he's the one that called the cops in the first place. It's like, is this 4D chess? I can't even figure it out anymore.
I must tell you, I was sort of taken aback when Trump said, you know, I like Bill Clinton. But even when he said that, and people play the clip, yeah, I like Bill Clinton because he says nice things about me. I mean, even in his way of complimenting Bill Clinton or saying, you know, I don't think he's trying to protect Bill Clinton. I'm curious that. I would have thought if there were more incriminating evidence or stuff on Bill Clinton, we would have seen it by now.
Well, I mean, the Clinton thing could be something that they could theoretically say this is national security. So maybe all the Clinton stuff has been excised, which is why maybe Bill and Hillary are so excited about testifying. Because that's what I'm really worried about, is that because Trump hasn't led the charge on this, the Clintons are going to go do their testimony and go, we know what happened and we need to get to the bottom of it. And they're going to put themselves as the champions of the exposed Jeffrey Epstein thing. And it's like, we are in topsy-turvy, upside-down world, Viva.
That's a good point. I didn't get the impression that they're eager to testify. And I suspect they're probably, plead the fifth more than we might think. But that's one hell of a way to think about it, is if they know all of the incriminating evidence on them has been excised for national security reasons, and now they can lie about other people's involvement, or at least lie about their own involvement. Interesting. We'll see. But they didn't look too eager to testify, but I'm eager to hear what they have to say under oath, or at least get the transcript afterwards.
They weren't eager before, but then recently they're like, we want it to be broadcast. So it's like, all right, what's going on here? These are the most dishonest people in the world. VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com.
All right, I'm going to be very clear about this. I've done an hour and a half of live broadcasts that have not plugged one time. You're not going to get economic, cultural, military, spiritual analysis like this anywhere else. It's not a power trip. I've been blessed by God with the best crew, the best guests, the best intel. But it's up to you to boost this information. All I ask is that you share the live feeds, you share the articles. We get shut down early next month, which is, I haven't made the announcement yet, but this is it. God keeps coming through with miracles, but it just looks like it. You'll see major movement soon. I'll just stop there. It's okay. But I'm asking all of you that have been on the fence, you share articles, videos, wonderful, keep doing it. I thank you, humbly. I'm not mad you never supported us financially, but the products are great. I'm asking everyone to do one thing. Go to thealexshowstore.com today and one click, become a VIP for $30 a month. Now, you instantly get $40 to spend in the store. Special deals, special offers, everything. It's a discount when you do that. It's just like Amazon Prime. But let's just say you don't want ultramethylene blue or Shilajit or Irish sea moss or bovine colostrum. That's so incredible. Not a sexy name, but sexy results. Maybe you don't want to get any of the great Patriot t-shirts. Just be a VIP every month. A donation of $30 to our sponsor, Bigly, that owns the Alex Jones Backup Network and the site. There's all sorts of behind the scenes attacking them. They're big boys too. You know, Nate was pardoned by the president for trying to save a woman on J6. He did save her. But I mean, these are patriots. Just go to the site, upper right hand corner, VIP club. Just commit. You can cancel any time, so it's not much of a commitment. But each month you charge $30 on the first day of the month. Just be a VIP. Pledge to us $30 a month. You've got NPR and PBS getting billions of dollars a year from the feds and then begging constantly for your money to shovel communism and pedophilic garbage on you. We just sell you the very best supplements you've ever seen, the widest selection of Patriot Apparel, badass knives, and we're swinging for the fences. I'm totally committed. I've given up 95% of my assets, which weren't ever that big. I could care less. Actually, I'm actually happier not having a few things to deal with. But the point is that we're now up against the wall. So I need you to simply become a VIP. And then you got a bad month, whatever the issue is, cancel. And then you get more money in a few months. You'll say you're like blue collar, whatever, hardworking person, totally respectable, the bedrock of this country, $30 a month, you get a little bit of problem, cancel. It's free. And then a few months later, things are going well again, become a VIP again. But for all you middle class people and all you wealthy people that aren't investing in the fight against the tyrants, you are crazy. All of you that have means should be a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com. It's just a $30 donation. If you don't want to spend the $40 you get to buy great products and just want to let it, you can be a member and just pile up $40 each month. And at the end of the year, what's 12 months? You know, you've spent X and then gotten way more in and then, you know, do all your Christmas shopping. I don't care how you do it. I'm just saying, become a VIP. One click. Hit one button. I'm an attack dog, folks. I'm born for this. I'm bred for this. I love this. I'm fearless other than failure. I have no fear. All I'm saying is please become a VIP right now at thealexjonesstore.com. That's the simple commitment. VIP. 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 And that's the term they use for it. I would call it Paul Revere Fund. I would call it tip of the spear. There's nowhere you can support where you're getting bigger results against the enemy. Bang for the buck. It's just true. I'm not bragging. I'm very humble. I am your weapon. I am committed to you like a dog is to its owner. I mean, it's true. I am your servant. I am here to defend you and defend your family and defend your freedom because I'm defending mine as well, and we're all in this together. You understand? I am so committed to you at the very base of my soul. And I just simply want to see you awaken in the InfoWar. And there's nowhere better with one simple move than being a VIP at thealexjonesstore.com.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.
Say we didn't tell you, folks. You can't say that you never knew there was a global elite pedophile ring running the world. I mean, we told you, folks. We've always known, and as I've been saying since these files got released, we're not learning anything particularly new. We're just getting the details. It's like we've always had the black and white image. Now we're filling it in with color. Helping me do this is my guest, Viva Fry. Follow him on X at TheVivaFry, Viva Barnes. Law.locals.com is where you can follow him and Robert Barnes as they stream and break down some of the biggest issues going on. And in fact, there's like three huge issues going on right now, Viva, that are clearly intertwined somehow. Figuring out exactly where the overlap is kind of confusing. It's the Epstein file document release, the war with Iran, and then the anti-Semitism hearings talking right now. And I'm seeing a lot of people trying to defend Epstein by saying you're anti-Semitic if you talk about it. Alan Dershowitz is one of these. Do you think these are related at all? Because this has been my theory for a while, and I don't know if it's Trump blackmailing them with the Epstein list or Israel blackmailing Trump, but there's been this, like, you know, it's the war with Iran and the Epstein files, and they've been just sort of on parallel tracks the entirety of Trump's second administration. How do you think they're related at all, and if so, how so?
I don't know. That would be those are dots that you can connect. I wouldn't venture there just because I wouldn't have a confident enough opinion based on any, we've seen these things evolve together over time, and whether or not it's always been the question as to which tail is wagging the dog is right. Is it Netanyahu who's trying to drag the U.S. into a war with Iran, or is it the U.S. using Israel as the tip of the spear for whatever aspirations it has with Iran? I tend to think it's more the former than the latter, that, you know, having evaded a deeper conflict with Iran back when at the same time we were being told, if you talk about the Epstein files, you're being disloyal to Trump. And if you don't cheer on a prolonged war with Iran, you're being disloyal. They certainly have evolved in tandem, but I don't know. It's just interesting just to go back to, you know, what Mike Benz talks about, the Epstein arms dealing going back, you know, to the early 80s, what that might have to do with anything. But no, the anti-Semitism, however, like, I'm not an authority and I don't ever say as a blank my opinion means more. There's nothing anti-Semitic about observing that people, you know, that they happen to be whatever religion they are involved in nefarious elements of politics, period. It might even be the soft bigotry of low expectations to say you can't observe or comment on this, because if you comment on Lex Westner, what did I have to pronounce his name, Epstein, and a slew of other interconnected secular Jews who are statistically overrepresented in politics, it's, on the one hand, it's a source of pride. People say, look, that's how influential Jews in modern politics are. To say that you can't criticize a state, or to say that you can't criticize individuals or observe a statistical overrepresentation is itself the bigotry, where you're saying, like, you're only doing it because they're Jewish. No, I'm just doing it because they are apparent criminals who are apparently up to supreme nastiness, and we're seeing it black on white. That they happen to be X, Y, and Z, you can figure that into geopolitics. But no,
supreme nastiness. I like that phrase.
Anyone who knows Clockwork Orange is going to get that reference. That's Stanley Kubrick. Yeah, up to supreme nastiness. Yes, but no. Like, look, it we're seeing it. To pretend it's only Jews, it would be okay. Then you ignore Prince Andrew. To pretend it's only Israel, then you ignore MI6. So depending on your level of focus, if it's to ignore all that which doesn't fit within your narrative, you know, then whatever, you're a horse with blinders on. But to say that it's anti-Semitic to go after these people because they're Jewish, that's not something I've ever adhered to, and it might be why I don't get invited to some holiday parties.
You don't want to be invited to those parties.
Oh, no. you will not find my name in those documents. I do not fraternize with people who I know are convicted sex offenders. And I always say you keep your schmeckel in your pants. You don't cheat on your wife. And you go to bed at 10 o'clock because nothing good happens after 10.
Yeah, you're not getting invited to any of the islands, my friend, with an attitude like that. But yeah, that's exactly, you know, Dan Bongino comes out and says, oh, all these anti-Semites. And it's like, look, I'm reporting on this because it's creepy behavior by the elites. I'm not doing it because they're Jewish, but you are telling me not to do it because they're Jewish. I'm not the one whose, you know, action is being dictated by the identity of the people involved. I would do this no matter who it was. You know, the people not covering this and saying they're doing it because it's anti-Semitic, they're the ones with the bias that needs to be overcome. Now, I know you got to go, and thank you so much for giving us your time already. Just in the final 2 minutes, what can we do to get something from this? What can we do to get through to Trump or somebody around him? Just, I know, you know, final minute or two, give us your prognosis here.
I'll tell you this, and it's people power, and I'm not trying to be cliched about it. Back with the, you know, the 12-day war with Iran that wasn't a war, and anybody who said it's a war is an idiot. It's arguable, and you'll never know, whether or not the pushback from the populist base actually got to Trump and got in the way of what would have otherwise been a disastrous, prolonged conflict. Trump listens. He is on social media. He cares about what the people say. And so you just keep your voice out there. You retain your integrity. Don't become a yes man, because yes men will yes man you into the grave, and then they'll just find the next person to yes man. Yes men are parasites, and do not become a yes man. When their host politically, you know, suffers or whatever, they move on to the next host. Keep your integrity. Keep your intellectual honesty. And don't let defiant L's have your tweets saying, we want disclosure on the Epstein files from 6 months ago and move on. It's a hoax from now. So you don't want that. Just be true as though there's a camera in the sky, whatever you perceive that camera to be, and remain honest to what you think is important and just hope that people listen. And I think we're seeing the impact of that. I think Trump does listen. And I think we will see some positive net improvements now. And hopefully the ship can be righted before the midterms.
Cross our fingers for that, because that is the deadline and it is rapidly approaching. Thank you so much, as always. Viva Fry. Follow him on X at TheVivaFry. VivaBarnesLaw.locals.com is where you can find his live stream with Robert Barnes. Thank you so much for being here with us, sir.
Thank you very much. Thank you.
Pleasure is mine. All right, folks, we're gonna move on a little bit now. I understand Thomas Massie just gave a little hearing or a little question and answer session about some of the things that he's revealed, but the crew tells me there wasn't anything too bombshell there, and I still have a lot more to cover from over the last 24 hours, so we're going to get into that. I do want to remind you to go to thealexjonesstore.com. Right now, we got a 50% off bundle deal if you bundle bovine colostrum plus methylene blue tincture and red tincture. It's the gut and brain power bundle available now at thealexjonesstore.com. We also have a modern world survival stack. So this is something that we've started doing, and they're all absolutely fantastic. We're bundling our supplements together so you can really make the most out of them. Now, these supplements are more than, you know, well worth the price at full price, but you're getting them at 50% off when you bundle them together. So you have the gut and brain bundle, the ultimate gut and brain bundle, which is the colostrum, the methylene blue, and the methylene red. But you also have the modern world survival stack, which is the Shilajit complex, the CMOS capsules, and the atomic defense. If you get those three together, you also get them for a combined 50% off. So go now and get half off some of our best-selling supplements at thealexjonesstore.com, thealexjonesstore.com/Harrison, if you want to let them know who sent you, and see for yourself what the power of these supplements can do. And of course, you keep us on the air and in the fight in a very real way as we continue to battle this multi-front war against our rights, liberties, ability to speak freely, and of course, just our general way of life. And the biggest story on X today was a hearing that was technically a religious liberty hearing, but it's become kind of something else entirely. It has become a battleground for some of the most contentious argumentation that I've seen online in a little while. And I want to show you some clips from this, but it's basically, they've minted a star, this woman named Carrie Prejean Bowler, I think is how you pronounce her name, but she is a Catholic woman that was invited to the Religious Tolerance Committee Summit and sort of had to battle some of the people there talking about Zionism or relating it to anti-Semitism. And I think it's important that you understand sort of the construct of the censorship apparatus that's being built right now. And I think this sort of goes to the heart of it. So much of what is being pushed now as censorship, like the different programs being pushed, they depend on a document that we've been talking about for years. It's the IHRA definition of anti-Semitism. That is the International Holocaust Remembrance Association's working definition of anti-Semitism, because that is the definition of quote-unquote anti-Semitism that gets adopted by governments, but it's not a definition of anti-Semitism. It is a wide-ranging definition that categorizes any and all criticism against the state of Israel as anti-Semitism. This is something I did in the Eighth Front War, the compilation I made. I made that a repeated sentiment because everybody in that video at some point makes the connection that anti-Zionism is anti-Semitism. And if you can get that keystone in place, then it upholds the rest of the construct, because then anybody opposing the actions of the state of Israel is categorized as an anti-Semite. And if you have laws against anti-Semitism, the nation state of Israel can silence you, you know, through your own government. And it's not good, and it's not an accurate definition of anti-Semitism by any stretch of the imagination. And it's just very clearly a, act of political sleight of hand. Say, oh, we're going to ban anti-Semitism. Don't you hate anti-Semitism? Don't you hate, you know, hatred of Jews? And people are like, yeah, of course. We don't like that. It's like, well, okay, then we're going to ban it. And then you ban it, and it turns out, all right, anybody protesting Israel is now a criminal. It's like, what? That's not anti-Semitism, obviously, but they're trying to define it as that. And this is not going over very well with free-thinking Christians in the world, one of which is this woman, Carrie Prejean Bowler. And she says, forcing people to affirm Zionism on a religious liberty commission is the opposite of religious freedom. I will not resign. I will not be bullied for following my Catholic conscience. This is a response to Shabbos Kestenbaum, who for some reason, inexplicably, is on this committee, which I posit sort of confirms the existence of some sort of international Jewish conspiracy. Because if Shabbos Kestenbaum is being appointed to this, there's been some nepotism involved. Who is this guy? Who is this guy? And why is he promoted so much? Shabbos Kestenbaum is the lifelong and to this day avowed Democrat who for some reason was given a prime speaking spot in the Republican National Convention in 2024. How does that happen, I wonder? And now he's on this committee hearing meeting just being utterly insufferable. And it's like, how does this guy get invited to these things? It's certainly not on merit. It's certainly not because anybody cares about what he says or agrees with him or is convinced by his rapid fire, you know, Adderall fueled nonsense that he spews constantly. And that's just a supposition. Everything I'm saying here is a joke and alleged, by the way, because I have a feeling Shabbos is a little bit willing to sue people for insulting him. So, you know, everything I'm saying now is just a big joke. I'm totally joking about all of this. I love the guy Shabbos. Me and him, we're best friends, actually. But we joke each other like this. So, you know, we joke, we go back and forth. It's very fun. Let's go to clip 52 here. This is Carrie Bowler, or Prejean, Carrie Prejean Bowler, saying, asking about Israel and the genocide they've been carrying out against Palestinians over the last 2 years. Let's go to that video now.
One last follow-up. Since we've mentioned Israel a total of 17 times, are you willing to condemn what Israel has done in Gaza?
No, because I unilaterally reject that it's not a genocide. The only genocide ever carried out was on October 7th when Hamas tried killing every man, woman, and child they could possibly find. Hang on, let me rewind.
70,000 innocent civilians killed?
Let me respond. So first of all,
condemn that?
And Carrie?
Just on the record.
As chair of the committee.
I think it's important we have this discussion.
I agree. I'm happy to answer.
And Carrie,
I think we'd be great friends.
Yeah. Carrie, I'm happy to answer.
Carrie, we have had the discussion. Good questions. Good answers. This is a commission on religious liberty. If there's another commission on this issue.
I don't know why we're talking about a foreign country.
To be fair, you brought it up.
Okay. You did.
At no point in my testimony did I mention Israel. I was very clear about American Jewry.
You did.
I did not mention Israel.
Okay. We'll talk about this later.
But that's objectively not true. I did not mention Israel.
This can be another discussion on another day, and you two can have coffee. Let's go to Rabbi to close this up, and then we'll wrap this panel up.
Thank you, Chairman. I thought I'd conclude this session.
All right. So, again, it's like the only genocide carried out was October 7th. Everything since then has been totally good, and you're an anti-Semite for questioning it. Let's go to clip number 55 here. I'm not sure how much of this we're going to be able to get to, but this is the clip that went totally viral. Incredible exchange today between Carrie Prejean Bowler and a group of Jewish Zionists at the White House's Religious Liberty Summit. And just in case you're forgetting, maybe we need to, I won't play it, but Shabbos does have a starring role in the Eighth Front War, where he is both bragging that Jews control the media, saying, what are you going to do about it? Tweet about it, go ahead. We're going to own more of the media by the time you're done. And then he says that the way you deal with anti-Semitism is you throw them in prison. Of course, he says for committing crimes, but it's like, okay, we already have laws against crimes. What are you talking about? You're talking about a law against anti-Semitism. You want to throw people in prison for that because they want to eliminate the First Amendment because people are questioning them. It's very despicable and un-American, frankly. So let's go to clip 55 here. This is the one that went totally viral. We'll interrupt and comment as it plays. Let's watch.
Thank you. Mr. Frankel, this is for you. You described very painful experiences at UCLA, and I take that very serious. At the same time, many of the students who I've spoken to personally who created those encampments say that they were protesting the killing of tens of thousands of Palestinian civilians in Gaza and their university's financial ties to that war. So I need to ask you, in a country built on religious liberty and the First Amendment, do you believe someone can stand firmly against anti-Semitism, including what you experienced, and at the same time condemn the mass killing of Palestinians in Gaza, or reject political Zionism, or not support the political state of Israel? Or do you believe that speaking out about what many Americans view as genocide in Gaza should be treated as anti-Semitic? Because in my view, the United States cannot and must not make loyalty to a particular theology about Israel a litmus test for protected speech or moral legitimacy.
Charlie Kirk said that Jew hate is brain rot. Some people don't have brains. I'm not going to...
Yeah, can we pause it right there? Like, this is the type of thing that they just say this stuff, and does nobody find this weird? So the woman asks a very pertinent and well-thought-out question, which is basically saying, is it possible to both oppose vile, like, actual anti-Semitism that people face, where they're being cursed at or spit on because they're Jews, right? She's saying, is it okay, like, is it possible to both oppose that and also not be a Zionist? And does that still make you an anti-Semite, even if you just oppose Israel on a political level? And his response to that is, Charlie Kirk said that anti-Semites don't have brains. What the hell are you talking about? Like, does he think that's a good point? Like, they just say this stuff that it's just like, answer the question. The hell are you talking about? And this is something I'm going to have to get into in the third hour, like, very deeply, because it's the same tactics over and over and over that are used, and they're very blunt. Like, they're not incisive. They're not, like, clever. It's just sort of everybody saying the same lie all at once and hoping that nobody checks them on it. And so we'll have to, you know, really dig into the method by which they're essentially trying to frame all criticism of Israel or Jewish people at all as anti-Semitism. But let's go back. So we've just, you know, the question is basically, can you be anti-Zionist but not an anti-Semite? So far, his first response is anti-Semites don't have brains. Okay, great, great point. And the reason I'm saying we'll have to continue this on the other side is because this is one of the key components of their campaign right now, is basically to say any criticism whatsoever of any of these groups, Israel, the Jewish people, anything, they cannot give it the credence of even, like, recognizing it's a valid criticism. It all has to be artificial. It all has to be fake. The people saying it aren't real, thinking, intelligent, loving human beings with opinions well-formed by acknowledgement of reality. No, they're just brainless zombies that just have to be destroyed. That's, like, such a key component of their operation here, is basically, you know, it's like when Dave Chappelle talks about somebody being called crazy, and that just means, like, you don't even have to address what they're saying anymore. You just label them as crazy. So that's what they're doing here. They label you as anti-Semite, and then they go, so you don't have a brain, you're not worth arguing against, your complaints are not worth even recognizing, you just have to be crushed and destroyed. So that's what he's setting up here. Let's go back to the dumbass little tyrant that doesn't know how to tie a tie.
Assist them in setting a double standard for the Israeli government and
no
the Jewish people as they fight to defend themselves. These were students calling for intifada within days after October 7th, before Israel had even entered Gaza. So it's not about them and their using Palestinian civilian death, which is horrendous and horrible. They're using it as a prop, and it doesn't matter. My religious beliefs are violated.
Let's pause there. Again, this is just an attempt to undermine and decertify any complaints about Israel. It's not, you know, oh my God, it's just so deceitful what they're doing. They're saying that they were calling for intifada. Basically, the Palestinian protesters were protesting Israel after October 7th, but before Israel really started its campaign of massacring innocent women and children. And so he's basically saying it can't be because of that, as if there hasn't been 70 years of systematic depopulation in Palestinian lands, like as if the Gaza war started on October 7th rather than being October 7th being a continuation of a war that's been fought for decade upon decade. Yeah, now Laura Loomer's trying to get this woman fired. Why? Because she asked questions like this. And they think they get to do stuff like this because they don't actually believe in religious liberty, because they're just lying to you, hoping that they can use your own values to destroy your own values. Like, don't fall for it. These people genuinely do not give a damn about religious liberty. They want everybody except for them to be shut up with force, okay? It's just, it could not be more obvious. This whole thing, everybody in there on the side of the Zionists is deliberately and desperately trying to destroy the First Amendment with everything they've got. Because as we've said a million billion times, and is self-evident if you think about it for 10 seconds, the right of freedom of religion means you have the right to hate, disparage, demonize any other religion. That's the point of it. You don't have, you know, freedom of religion just to worship, you know, how you want, but you can't criticize anybody else. No, the freedom of religion is to be able to say the Pope's a jackass and Benjamin Netanyahu is a dirty scoundrel that should be arrested for genocide and who predicates his genocide on his religious teachings. That is the First Amendment. It is absolutely, incontrovertibly the right that gives that the freedom of religion is the right that gives that allows us to criticize Jews or Judaism or the state of Israel, and they are attempting to destroy that. So let's not be obscure about this. Laura Loomer and everybody on the panel wearing a tiny hat, their whole point of being up there is to use the First Amendment and claims of religious liberty to destroy your liberty to criticize them. Okay? I just want to be perfectly clear. Let's go back to this video. We won't be able to get to all of it, but let's watch a little more.
Zionist and a Jew. You want to protest Israel? Great. 100% go ahead and do it. But the university let them wear masks, even though there's a mask ban. They violated all time, place, and manner restrictions, amplified sounds. It went on for years. They kept doing this time after time again. And that's what the judge saw and said, that's not okay. They can protest, they can't block Jews, and you can't assist them in doing it.
I'm really grateful that we're having this discussion because I think this is a topic that is really affecting so many Americans. Rabbi Shapiro, he's based in New York. I invited him here today, but he's not here today. He says, and I would love your opinion on this, American Jews are increasingly treated as less fully American, our loyalty questioned, our belonging made conditional, because Zionist ideology falsely claims Israel is the nation state of Jews everywhere and that every Jew is nationally tied to it. He says, this framing is anti-Semitic at its core.
It strips us of our identity. Of course it's usually damaging to anybody in America that doesn't agree with these scumbags. We're going to play the rest of this on the other side. So there's about 5 minutes left, and we'll play the whole thing. And then go back to some other clips because this went on. And then we'll discuss the way that Laura Loomer and others are just foaming at the mouth, viciously trying to destroy this woman's life because she stands up to them, essentially, and doesn't like that they're trying to destroy the First Amendment over their desire, their need to commit genocide without anybody complaining about it. Because remember, that's all that this is about. If Israel just stopped killing kids, nobody would be angry about them anymore. They want to be able to kill kids and have you shut up and praise them for it. Okay? Without that combo, they're pissed and they're going to destroy your country and everybody.
I see through a rose-colored darkly. That means I'm trying to tell you the truth, but I'm not always right just about 98% of the time. And bad guys of every stripe don't want this show on the air. But you're the good guys. You have to decide, hey, this guy's a fighter. This guy stood up for this. This guy has an incredible track record. We want to support him. And then I'm going to sell you something that really works so you love it and you get it again and again. And Bigly, our great sponsor, thoseyellowshowstore.com, no matter what happens, InfoWars, we continue on the Alex Jones network that's been built. So key said, Alex, you keep getting it wrong. We don't have 84% reorder on Ultramethylene Blue. We don't have 76% reorder on the supplements and average. You're reading that wrong. That's on total customers. We have a 97% reorder from anybody that orders at thealexjones.com. Well, that's a testament to you guys out there supporting us and how great the products are. Nobody, I mean, a site that has a 20% reorder is seen as successful. That is you being steadfast supporters, and I want to thank you. So we're running the biggest sale of the year right now, over 50% off on ultramethylene blue, on the bovine colostrum, on the new methylene red that's proprietary to us, on the Shilajit Complex, the Irish Sea Moss, Atomic Defense, and more. But it's only run until next Monday. Got 6 days to take action. TheAlexJonesStore.com. Takes money to fight a war. We're fighting a war. Plus, the products are great. So please, get yours now. Over 50% off, but it's an alert Only a few days left. Thank you so much.
If you are receiving this transmission, you are the resistance.